And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I believe that'd be my cue, wouldn't it? That'd be my cue, my time to get rolling here this morning. This is Wednesday morning, 9:14. We made it through 3 days of 9-1-1. I tried to warn you guys last week that something was going to happen, and nothing happened, so it is what it is. So much for that conspiracy theory, but boy, is there a lot of stuff going on. Big football fan. Y'all folks all know that. Big football fan. And we always told our guys, defensive linemen in particular, two things we told them to do. When you get down in your two-point stance or your three-point stance, we taught it different ways because different players do better out of a three-point, different other guys do better out of a four-point. It has to do with your speed, your balance, and your explosion and all that. We told them this. When you get down on that defensive line, you can't find the ball. In fact, the worst thing you can do is find the ball. Stop looking for the ball. Because it'll fool you. Or as my friend Chad says, your emotions will betray you. So we taught our defensive linemen two things. Number one, fight pressure. Come off the ball, fight pressure. Wherever they're trying to take you, don't go there. If they're pushing you to the left, go to the right. If they're pushing you back, go forward. Fight pressure. That's issue number one. So I'm speaking to all of us now. This isn't football terminology. Fight pressure. Then find the ball. Don't find the ball first. Fight pressure, then find the ball. Meaning what? You got to get to your position and then cover your area. So we're going to talk a little bit today about that very issue. The reason we wanted them to fight pressure and then find the ball is so that they didn't get bootlegged, didn't have a counter run against us, didn't have a reverse run against us. The other team's running some plays against us this morning, boys. They are. And again, like we always try to do here on this show, I'm going to try to expose some of it to you. You can laugh it off. And I would hope that we've reached a point in America, those of us who are on this show right now, by the way, 605-475-0017, if you want to listen on your phone, 605-475-0017. I hope those of you who've been listening to the show for some period of time understand that what's going on is bigger than what we ever understood it was happening. We just didn't get it. And because of that, we need to become more focused on what we're trying to do. I remember when I was a young coach, I had a guy who coached the defensive line. And we were in practice one day. We were both young coaches, first or second year coach, and I was 22 years old. I coached the defensive back, the secondary, and those four guys, sometimes six guys back there defended the pass. He coached the defensive tackles. Two guys fired off the ball, fought pressure, and found the football. That's all they did. Talk about an easy job. We had cover defensive backs. We had cover one and cover two and cover three and prevent and press coverage. We had all kinds of coverage we were doing back there with the six or seven or eight guys. Sometimes we had eight guys in coverage, depending on it. And I'll never forget, we were back there during practice one day, and Matt walked back to me, and he said, "Man, Dave, how do you know what you're doing back here with all these guys?" I never forgot that. How do you know what you're doing with all of these guys? And to me, it was just second nature because I'd always played back there. I understood the football game from in the secondary. That's where I played. I didn't play down on the line. And see, a lot of times you put a lineman down because you just want him to – you don't want him to think too much. You want him to fight pressure and get to his spot, find the ball. Fight pressure, find the ball. How hard is that, right? Boy, in the defensive back, you got to teach those guys how to drop step and which way to turn their hips and how to put their hands up and how to fight. You got a thousand different things. The guy's coming across and pick a guy up when he comes across. You stay in your area. Don't follow him. Don't be tricked. You stay home. Look for a guy coming. A lot of things you have to teach in that defensive secondary. Because if you think about a football game, the football's on the 20-yard line. The defensive back's got to cover 80 yards. They got to cover 80 stinking yards behind them to the goal line. Ball gets over the top of them. It's a touchdown. You can't let it happen. At the same time, they got to drop back and cover the ball coming underneath because the guy coming underneath can catch the ball 20 yards downfield and then run 40 more yards. So it's simple, but it's complicated. Do you understand what I'm saying? And sadly, in today's Christianity, we're just teaching everybody to be defensive linemen. We have no real understanding of what's going on. Just fight pressure and get to your spot. Find the ball. That's what we're doing in church. And unfortunately, the game is so much bigger than that. So much more complicated. So much bigger than that. And I want to try to crack your eyes open to it today. And again, you know, we're not all at the same place. Some of you are still defensive linemen. Some of you, maybe your skill set has progressed you up to where you're inside linebackers, maybe outside linebackers, because the inside linebacker, he stands behind those defensive linemen, and he looks at what's going on, and he calls out orders and directions to the guys in front of him, the eight guys he's taking charge of. So he has to understand the bigger picture a little bit more. And then that safety that's standing back there, man, oh, man, he's got to really get the big picture of everything that's going on. But understand this. Everybody has their own responsibilities, what they're supposed to do. And the way that a football team gets beat is when one player tries to do somebody else's job. Say amen, Dylan. I coach Dylan. Say amen, Dylan. Huh?
Amen.
When that outside linebacker tries to run inside and make a tackle and they run that bootleg, you lose because you don't do your job. You don't do your job. So I want to try to help us today understand the larger perspective of what's going on, and then for you, from your position, to run the play, to do what it is that you're supposed to do. Because we can all do something. Now, hey, listen, sometimes a defensive back's got to tackle. May not be his favorite thing to do, but he's got to do that. Rarely do you see a defensive lineman bat down a football. Rarely. That's not his job. His job's not to bat down the pass. His job is to go get the quarterback. But every once in a while, he gets his hands up and swats down a pass. That's okay. He's allowed to do that. Well, sometimes the defensive back's got to go tackle. You have to be multifaceted and multi-skilled in order to be successful in football. Am I making sense here? You guys follow me? My point is this. In the church, we've coached everybody to be a defensive lineman. That's about it. Fight pressure, maybe. Love them while you're fighting pressure, because, by the way, you would never want to tackle the guy too hard, because if you tackle the opponent too hard, he may not come to Jesus. He may never become a Christian because you were so mean to him. And so we've created a bunch of football players who are very limited in their skills. A better way I could give you this. When a defensive lineman gets down in a stance, the only thing he can see is the guy over the top of him, maybe the two guys beside him, and the center getting ready to snap the ball. He can't see anything else. He can't see where the quarterback is. He can't see where the running backs are. He can't see where the wide receivers are, because it doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter. So he's just down there, and he just does it. We call it grunt work. Just grunt work. We call it rude hog and die. Just dig yourself a hole and lay there and cover that hole. Find football. Rude hog and die. That's what the church is doing. Rude hog and die. Every once in a while, we stick our head up and we look outside, say, whoops, and boom, we want to get back down, bury our head, and pray for the rapture, that, man, we're just going to somehow get over this. Because, Roger, we know who wins. We read the final chapter. We know who wins. Not realizing the only way we win is if we play a role. If I'm a defensive lineman, I do what I'm supposed to do, fight pressure, get to my spot, find the ball. Our team's got a much better chance of being successful. So while we're doing all that stuff, the enemy, that's what I want to talk about today. The enemy's running plays. The enemy's running plays. And we don't know they are. We don't even think they have a team. So that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. By the way, I got a new feature. If you guys can see Larry there, I have a phone right here. If you're watching the show, or you are driving down the road, or you're listening to the show some other way, and you absolutely have something that you want to say, dial this number, and I'll put here, it'll ring, I'll answer it, and we will put you on speakerphone and we'll let you get your 2 cents in here on the show. Here's the number. It's 740. Larry's got it there. If you click on Larry's drinking his cup of coffee right now, you can see it. 740-323-0871. That will ring right here beside me and I will pick it up. 740-323-0871. Now listen, if you call and it rings, I will answer it, but I may not talk to you right away. So bear with me. I'm not going to be here and let the phone ring for 30 minutes waiting to pick it up. So when you call, I'm going to answer it. I'm going to set you down. You'll be able to hear the show, and then I'm going to bring you in there, okay? So that's a new feature. We're going to actually going to try to upgrade that a little bit because I know that there are a lot of people who would like just to be able to get in and say something. Okay? 740-323-0871, 740-323-0871. Anybody got anything on their heart right now? I know that I know Sarge does. Sarge, let's go ahead. Well, maybe we shouldn't make this to the world yet. Guys, listen, if you're out there right now and you want to be part of our daily emails, we have daily emails that go out. If you'd like to be on that email list, email us. Email me. Hey, Jared, what would be the best email for them to use? Would it just be to email it to me and I forward it to you?
Yeah, you could email coach at coachdavelive.com.
Say, I want to be on that list. That's all you got to do. Coach at coachdavelive.com. Say, I want to be on the list, and then we'll put you on the email list, and you'll keep up with everything that's going to go on. We're going to have a conference call tonight. That's why I'm talking about it. And we're going to send that link out to everybody's on our email list. But if you're not on the email list, you're not going to, at least initially, you're not going to be able to be part of that. Okay? Anybody want to jump in here before I dig in?
Yeah, Coach, before you get into your stuff, I just want to make an observation from decades of looking at that calls itself the church in our country.
Yes, sir.
And we don't even have serious players at all on the teams.
That's
We've
right.
got a whole bunch of people sitting in the pews that envision themselves as Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, and that's all they want to contemplate.
And Larry, sorry, unfortunately, some of them are merely sports writers. That's really all they are. They go to the game, they watch the game, they analyze the game, but they never ever get into it. We're having one of the greatest ever, I believe this in the depth of my being. We're having one of the most blatant exposés of the work of the enemy that we have seen in my lifetime. It is so blatant and so obvious. The other team is getting very, very bold. And I used to tell our guys this, quit being so damn fat and sassy. You're setting yourself up to get your butt beat. One game at a time. The best way to be 10-0 is be 1-0. Best way to be 10-0 is be 2-0. Right, Dylan? Best way to be 10-0 is be 3-0. One game at a time. One play at a time. Quit reading the newspaper clippings about you. Quit thinking you're so daggone good. Get your nose down in the dirt and play football. And when they lose that focus, they become ineffective. Churches become ineffective. We don't even know there's a game. We don't even think there's another team. I'm going to show you some stuff today that you're going to find out there's another team. So let me take you to this Hillary thing a minute. I don't want to talk about the Hillary thing because that's all everybody's talking about. Hillary's toast. We know that. Hillary is toast. I said 2 months ago, I don't want to be Rush Limbaugh. See, I told you so. But I told you so 2 months ago. She's done. I think it was 2 months ago, maybe a month ago. She's not going to make it to the finish line. She isn't going to make it to the finish line. Now, guys, here's the real reason why. They've come to the realization that she can't win. They've done everything they can do to prop her up. But the thing that really sunk her boat was what she called Trump supporters deplorables. They knew that was it, that she would never recover from that statement. Deplorables. And she was really kind of exposed for who she really is. And, you know, those God-hating liberals, they give an appearance of caring for everybody, but they really don't. So she's hanging out with all the homos and lesbos and all the sexual deviants. She's one of them, see? She's one of them. That's her team. And so in a moment of honesty, which is probably hard for her to do, she called the rest of us deplorables. That then, see, she called Trump supporters deplorables. At that point, they knew she was done. So here's what's going on. I want you to know the second two things I want to point out to you that are really important, because we showed the video three days ago. Two things that are really, really important. Number one, understand this. Hillary Clinton, if she was really, really sick, would not go stand on the street corner and lean up against a pole and wait for the Secret Service. No way that she would do that. They did this on purpose. If she was, think about this. We're talking about a woman on that video that couldn't walk 10 feet, 5 feet, 7 feet from that pole she was leaning against her car. She couldn't walk that far, yet she had walked 150 yards or 200 yards, however it was, to get there. But she couldn't walk that much farther. And you're to tell me that they're trying to protect Hillary Clinton, her sicknesses, which they've tried to do for however long, that they're going to let her walk and stand against a pole and wait for a Secret Service car to pull up. See, you're dumber than I think, or you think. There's no way. That was clearly done on purpose. Number two, and I've listened to a lot of security guys. I spoke to Doug Hagman at Hagman & Hagman the other night. Listen, they never bring the person they are protecting out until the vehicle is there. It's never like you go on a corner and wait on a bus. They would have the vehicle there and she would come out quickly and get in it for security reasons. Security reasons. That's why they would do that. They would never leave her standing out there exposed. And then the other part of it, when they showed Hillary's house and she comes out, walking up and down the street all by herself, right? No security around her. Some little girl comes up to her. Hey, listen, folks, they are playing us like a Stradivarius. You know what they've done now? They've got us all talking about this, talking about all Hillary's sick. And what are we not talking about? Can somebody tell me what we're not talking about?
Hillary's double.
Oh, they threw that in there too, didn't they, Larry? Now they got us chasing, trying to find out her double. I don't care if she has a double. It doesn't matter. What's the real issue with Hillary? Somebody tell me what's the real issue with Hillary.
She's pure evil.
She's pure evil. She's violated about 18 different laws. And those 18 different laws that she has violated now connects her to so many people that we can't understand. Guys, don't you understand why there are so many never Trumps? Don't you understand that if the truth comes out about the Clinton Foundation and everything that she did, she and Bill did, if all that stuff comes out, we're going to see who all was connected to that beehive, that web. We're going to see the web of deceit. So now they know Hillary can't win. What are they going to do? They're going to focus on her health. She's going to step out, and who's going to prosecute a sick woman? Who's going to prosecute a sick woman? Only those mean Republicans would do that. And the rest of us, we're going to step back and say, oh, well, at least she's not in there. Who cares about all that other, right? You following me? Following me? And so now the drama switches to who's going to be the next guy. Not going to be Bernie Sanders, right? They're not going to bring Bernie, and they hate Bernie. But Bernie should be in there because he actually got more votes than Hillary. But now they're not going to bring Bernie in there because they don't want Bernie. Tim Kaine, listen, understand this. The dude in the White House don't want to leave. And there's all kinds of information going on out there about what happens if Hillary falls out. What happens if the Democrats don't have a candidate? What's the Constitution say about it? Now there's all kinds of confusion. And what do we do? And what they're going to try to do is give the appearance, listen, of this next election being illegitimate. Remember Bush? Remember Bush back in 2004? Was it 2004? The hanging chads? From that point on, George Bush's presidency was illegitimate. That was what they laid on him. He was illegitimate. So now, Obama or whoever, they're going to stand up and say, listen, no. This would not be fair for a guy who's been running for president for a year and a half for him to have to run against somebody that just popped into the picture. That's not going to be fair. And we know where it goes, right? We know where that story goes. And so there's going to be a delay in the election. Sarge, you think I'm missing it? Anybody out there think I'm missing it? They got us chasing body doubles. They got us chasing things falling out of Hillary's leg. They got us chasing all kinds of stuff. It's the bootleg. It's the bootleg. And we're not smart enough to see it.
If they do attempt to force a delay in the election, they don't have any legal standing to stand on, because both parties have procedures on how to fill a vacancy in a ticket. But, you know, if something like that happens, the FEC does not have any regulations concerning that situation.
There, huh?
Constitution does not cover it.
Hang on there a second, Chad. It's a whole new territory, isn't it, Larry? They get to rewrite the rules as they go along to get the guy in there. Hey, Chad, you're the first guy ever to talk live in the huddle. How you doing today? Good day. Can you guys all hear Chad? Hang on there, Chad. No, they can't hear you, Chad. Maybe I got the thing upside down. Keep talking there a minute.
Okay. All right. Well, is this better when you all can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Well, I was just listening, on my phone about it, and I thought I'd call in there, but I saw an ad last night, the first one I've seen of Hillary running, and what she does is she is calling as Republicans, okay, running ads against, basically, in her ad is them saying that Trump is this, he's that, he's this, he's that. And of course, one of them was that senator from South Carolina, Graham.
Right.
But what I was thinking is all of these people are obviously, they now they're showing themselves, they're manifesting themselves. Obviously, to me, in my opinion, is that these are the folks that have received the kickbacks from the Clinton Foundation.
Yes, sir.
Opinion. Okay, they're compromised, and their constituents in those states should raise up and identify them as being such. They're having to commit now. They're all in against, the globals are all in against the non-globals.
Right, that's what it is. That's where the battle is, the globalist against the non-globalist. That's right.
That's it. I mean,
and Hillary's
globalist,
Hillary and Bill have bought them all off. That's why I'm saying the tentacles run very, very deep. And I would not be surprised, Chad, if at some point something happens that's going to lead to some form of martial law and canceling of the election. Would that be a shock to you, Chad?
Yep. Back and forth like this, and so it's going to drag out, and then maybe an event happened in January.
Wow. All right, man.
All right, man.
Hey, Chad, I'll see you down there in Louisiana, man.
All right, sir.
God bless you. Hey, so it worked. We can do it. 740-323-0871. 740-323-0871. Anybody want to say anything about what Chad just said? Raj?
Dave, I think this is why Trump is in a dangerous position. If there is one person who could get 20 million people in Washington, D.C., if this scenario played out, it would be Donald Trump.
Because he's not a globalist, Roger. That's why. He's not a globalist. Doesn't appear to be.
Yeah, but I don't see anybody else that could rally. You have 20 million people in D.C. who are ready to revolt, and another 20 million at home. You got some problems as a nation.
Yeah, you do.
But there's nobody after Trump that I think could rally the people there. He can do it.
Me, I can do it, but I don't have $20 million or $20 billion or whatever. We'd figure out. I agree with you. Hey, here's our Bible for the day. Psalm 2. I hate to keep coming back there, guys, but let's go to Psalm 2 and read it again, because you've got to get it down deep inside of you. I thought we had a fabulous show yesterday where we were talking about these demonic forces and these demonic influences, and understanding that that there's crazy, crazy demonic stuff that's going on in the world. That there was a day before the internet. a day before the internet when this Roger, gotta mute yourself, Roger. You're laughing all over us. There you go. The day before the internet, where all this stuff would have been tinfoil hat, nobody would have believed it. But now with the internet, there's more and more stuff that's going on, man. Just more and more stuff that's going on. And Robert Spencer, I know he's going to be listening. I got your email about that book from Rob Pugh. I'm gonna get that to you, but I just forgot it yesterday. I'll get it done. Let's go to Psalm 2 because it's, again, I just think it's so appropriate. Then I got a couple videos. I'll show you good stuff. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. There's one team. Who's the opponent? Against the Lord and against his anointing. There is your team. The heathen rage. The kings of the earth set themselves up. Rulers take counsel together. Conspiracy against the Lord and against his anointing. There it is. There it is. And what do they say? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, the heathen don't want the bands and the cords of religion of Christianity to hold them. They don't want that. So we're going to throw all this stuff off. But he, the Lord, the head coach Jesus, sits up in the head. He's like in the top of the press box. He's sitting high and he's looking down, looking low, sitting high and looking low. It's like when you go to the Ohio State football game, you sit in C deck. It's a heck of a lot different game than if you're down on the sidelines. The Lord's up there at high with his headphones on. He can't even call plays. He's laughing so bad. He's laughing. He sees the game that's going on. He's laughing. The Lord shall have them in derision, right? Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex him in his sore pleasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask me, and I will give you who? Who will he give us? He will give us the heathen for our inheritance. The Lord's laughing. He said, listen, I'm going to give you control of all those boys. Hang on, man. And the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Wow. Wonder what the uttermost parts of the earth is. You shall break them with a rod of iron. Shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Hillary and Bill and Bill O'Reilly and Nancy Pelosi and all of them. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish away from the way when his wrath is kindled. But a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Okay, so we're in a battle. We saw the two teams. We shouldn't be surprised. Remember now, the writer David writing the Old Testament from a far different perspective than those of us here in 2016. David, as Sarge said yesterday, they understood the kings of the earth. They understood them. David understood the kings of the earth. In fact, Kevin put over 72 spiritual rulers who control all of the lands. It's in Deuteronomy 32:8. 72 spiritual, wow, crazy, huh? Again, the spiritual realm impacting the physical realm. We cannot be ignorant of his devices. So, Jared, I'm going to show you something here. Let's go to the stuff there, Jared. And the first thing I want you to play, this just kind of broke my heart. I don't want it to sound like I'm poking fun, but it just kind of broke my heart. I got this from our friend John out in Wichita. And Wichita Prayer, says it, Jared. Listen, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but if you're offended, I don't care. Hear me. The devil's team is trying to control the world. The devil's team is trying to control the world. And I want you to watch what God's team's doing. Jared's trying to get it up. I sent it off my Facebook page. Sometimes he has a problem getting it. It's only 2 minutes. Think about this. All the demonic stuff that's going on. It's everywhere. The demonic, the same-sex marriage, Hollywood, everything. Oh, the devil is on a full court press. Right? Here's our response to it. Go ahead and see if you can play that up here, Jared. Only 2 minutes. Anybody have a reaction before I give a reaction? Do you know where I'm going to go with this? They're murdering babies regularly in Wichita, Kansas. Right now, they're murdering babies. And we think that to go into a church and pray is going to somehow, while the devil's kids are gone full bore to capture this land, we're having citywide prayer, praying with our mayors and our sheriffs, and they're not doing a daggone thing. They're not doing. Here's what I'm trying to point out to you. The devil is actively working for control of the world. And we're patty caking and playing church. That's what's going on here, folks. And it's not going to, see, prayer is designed to empower something. What's the action that this prayer for revival in the city? What does that even mean? Revival in the city? I know this. For those who've gone with us and done things out on the street, revival comes in your own heart when you go and stand up for the Lord, when you exercise your faith. Sadly, I praise God that these churches in Wichita are getting together. I'm going to have another meeting on Thursday, November 17th. In the meantime, they'll keep killing babies. Homos will be getting married. Lies will be taught in the public schools, all of it. And we'll just continue to pray and expect God to do a miracle.
Hey, Dave.
Yep.
Isaiah chapter 1 says it doesn't matter what we do inside the four walls of the temple. It's what we do outside.
That's exactly right, and we don't get it. We still don't get it, see? And so we think it's a great accomplishment when churches get together inside a building. We think that's a great accomplishment. And I guess it is. We don't even like each other. I was out at the abortion clinic yesterday. By the way, Roger, your wife showed up out there the other day. It's proud of her. Good to see her. I was out there, and some black lady comes walking down in front of the abortion clinic, and she's got a sign on that says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And there I'm standing with my cross hat on. And then she walked by, gave me the most hateful look. You know why? She's black and I'm white. There's no other way to hide it. There was no reason for her to look at me like that. She's black and I'm white. The devil's done a great job of dividing us for sure.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
These churches and their revivals, you can't revive something that wasn't already revived.
You can't revive. It's never been revived. You're right, Larry. Okay, I'm going to show you a video. I got two videos. We may not have time to get them both up. I don't know which one to show you first.
Dave?
Yep.
Can you give us 1 minute of the concept of prayer leads to impact or action?
Yeah, prayer is, it's like this, Roger. Prayer are the electric lines that run to action. In other words, prayer empowers action. Without prayer, me standing on the street is ineffective. But plugged into the power source, my action now becomes supernatural. You following me? And the converse of that is having a generating inside the church a bunch of power and nobody taking it out to the streets is just as bad. It's just as bad. It's just as worthless. Prayer empowers action. They should be praying that the abortion clinics would close in Wichita and then do what?
Close them.
Go close them. We don't make the connection, see? There's probably sometimes the Lord probably looks down. This sound blasphemous. That's okay. The Lord probably looks down and says, oh my goodness. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Oh, why did I put that in that Bible? That's not what I meant for that to be, for them just to pray. Oh, I wish I could write that one over again.
I'm thinking faith without works is dead is comparable to prayer without steps is useless.
That's right, Roger. Or Larry. One of my car's battery went dead yesterday. Hey, Weave, what did I do when my battery went dead? What did I do when my battery went dead yesterday?
You jumped it.
I jumped it. I connected the power to it. That daggone thing took off. What are you going to say there, Jared?
I was just thinking of a quote. This isn't from the Bible. Marcus Aurelius, he's a philosopher. He was a Roman emperor. And he talks about prayer. And he says, why would you pray for something that you have no control over and, you know, get all worked up about things out there instead of why not just pray to have the strength to bear it or to just look at these things that happen and pray to have the strength to handle it and then go live. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Go do what you can do, right? And then move on. Go do what you can do. It's like when you go to plow a field or you go to pick corn, you start in a little segment, you take it out, and the next thing you know, take out the next section. You don't stand there and pray that the corn will fall in the wagon. You have to go attack it and take authority and dominion where you have the opportunity.
I like to look at it this way, Coach. One of the lessons the Holy Spirit's taught me about prayer is that I shouldn't be asking God to do something that's going to require him to override the self-will of somebody.
Amen.
That's not the way God operates. So why should I pray to ask him to do something that would require him to do that? That's He's right. not going to do it.
He's not, Larry. He's not. Nope. Sometimes in that football game, the offensive guard, his job is to make sure that the defensive lineman doesn't get that penetration, right? He doesn't just pray that the guy's not going to penetrate. He has to come off, pray, and then come off the ball and hit him. Figure out how to do it. When figured it out. Okay, I got a couple of really good videos. Trying to connect to you what's going on. There are men behind the curtain. Men behind the curtain. This is about 11 minutes, maybe 13 minutes. I don't know which one. Let's do the John F. Kennedy one, Jared. It's about 13 minutes, but it's worth our time. 10 minutes, 11 minutes. John Kennedy exposing secret societies. Huh? What? Well, yep, they're out there. Now, we call them secret societies. I just call them the devil's teams. Devil's got some different teams. Devil has several different SWAT teams. He's got his boys going, fighting hard. We don't believe that, though, see. We think the devil's just after our finances and our health and our children. This is what John F. Kennedy said. Go ahead. This, by the way, this is what got him killed.
President John F. Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. Praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens, whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go wild.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the web.
Number 322?
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale.
Russert ended up dead.
Not much, because it's a secret. Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322? Secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim, but one thing is not a secret. I disagree with this president's direction that he's taking the country. We can do a better job, and I intend to do it.
And we'll be watching Be Safe on the Campaign Trail. John Kerry, thanks for joining us, and we'll be right back.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Senator, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Can I ask you a quick question while you sign that?
Sure.
It was reported in June of 2006, you attended a meeting in Ottawa, Canada, the Bilderberg Group. Can you comment on that? What's going on with the Bilderberg meeting, and what do you guys talk about up there?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I was reported you were up there, and people saw you up there. I just want to know what you guys talk about and meet about up there.
Sir, I don't know.
Why are they such top secret meetings?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Your husband went to a Bilderberg meeting, too. I'm just wondering. I'm not being rude or anything.
No,
I just want to know what happens at these meetings.
Well, since I wasn't there, I have no idea.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
Thank you. How are you? There you go.
Thank you very much.
I am a happy member of the Bohemian Grove. I like the folks who come there, and it's really inappropriate for me to talk about the group beyond that. Thank you.
Have you been there for the ceremony with the cremation of care?
Frankly, that's I don't think that's something I need to talk to you about.
Have you been there for the ceremony with the cremation of care?
Frankly, I don't think that's something I need to talk to you about.
Really?
That's right.
Well, I'm Alex Jones, and I snuck in there in 2000. I'm the guy that blew it wide open
and got the video. It's been on national TV.
Well, I disrespect you for that.
You do?
I do.
But there's a lot of big public officials going in there. We deserve to know?
I don't know anything about you, and I don't know anything about your film. But if you go in there with an understanding, you violated that understanding by releasing that film, and I don't respect you for that.
Really?
You took an understanding when you went in there that you would not do that film. And you did you have an understanding when you went in there?
No.
Did you crash it?
Yes.
Yeah, and it has no trespassing signs there, too, doesn't it?
No, they put them up
after. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, sir. I've been there before. I know what the circumstances are, and I'm sorry you violated the understanding. But it was not, that was not a gentlemanly thing to do.
But what about the ritual? Is the ritual gentlemanly?
Sir, everything. I don't owe you this comment. This is what's called ambush journalism, and I disrespect you for that as well. So thank you. Think about it.
You ever done a ritual?
That's none of your damn business.
Oh.
Here's my reaction. Take the ceremony at Bohemian Grove and compare it to the ceremony in Wichita, Kansas, and try to figure out which team's winning and why. Unbelievable, isn't it? That speech by John F. Kennedy literally did cost him his life when he spoke about these secret societies. And it wasn't it. I wish I'd brought this clip up earlier. This is what's going on, guys. When Newt Gingrich said on Fox News that Donald Trump is not part of their secret societies. Does anybody remember that? Anybody remember that? Jared, maybe you could Google that real quick. That wouldn't even be hard to find, a video clip of Donald Trump, Newt Gingrich saying that he's not part of those secret societies. Reaction, anybody?
That Bohemian Grove kind of reminds you of what happened over in CERN, doesn't it?
Larry, that's a great connection. Remember the thing at CERN where they had the parade of all those new age things and all that stuff? Same ceremony. All that stuff, right? Now, look, listen, you can call it a conspiracy theory if you want to. And I don't care if you're out there and you think I'm crazy and you don't want to know. That's okay. It's okay for you to believe it. But I'm just trying to give you some information that you are going to be able to filter through so that you are going to be able to fight pressure and find the football. Quit following Hillary's health, her collapse, what's falling out of her leg, does she have a body double? Well, they got you guys chasing after that. Something bigger going on. Jared's a good man. Look at this. Got this clip on Newt Gingrich talking about secrets. You got it ready to go there, Jared?
This is a guy giving an explanation of it.
Okay.
Well, it's 5 minutes.
Okay. I think we got time.
All right.
Is that the reason the establishment hates Donald Trump and sees him as a threat is because he didn't go through, quote, the initiation rites with the secret society. Oh, but I thought it's just a conspiracy theory to think that a secret society, Skull and Bones, stepping stone to the Illuminati, the Bohemian Grove summer camp where they all hang out later in life. I thought that was just a crazy conspiracy theory. Well, let's hear it from the former Speaker of the House. By the way, he's not joking. This isn't tongue-in-cheek. Just watch. He's 100% serious. Apparently, Newt Gingrich has had a come-to-God moment and has decided to finally tell the truth about how the establishment actually works. This is incredible. Watch this.
And now they're faced with a very real prospect of Donald Trump becoming the leader of the party, and it absolutely drives them crazy. They just cannot
Why?
Imagine sharing. Well, because he's an outsider. He's not them. He's not part of the club. He's uncontrollable. You know, he hasn't been through the initiation rites. He didn't belong to the secret society. And I think that they don't see him.
There you go.
Is that unbelievable? Now, Newt's a globalist, right? Newt could be a double agent. He could be playing both sides of it. But what he said there was absolutely profoundly true. Remember this. They are worried. Guys, come on. Hillary has been the next president of the United States for how long? In the eyes of America, Hillary has been the next president of the United States since Barack Obama came out of nowhere to become president of the United States. Now, wait a minute. We could even go there. How could he possibly have become president of the United States? What kind of miracle was that? But from that moment on, it was now Hillary's turn. And why was it Hillary's turn? Because she is part of the club. And they want to give us the appearance of fair elections and free elections and liberals against conservatives and Republicans against Democrats. They want us to give us that impression. But the Clintons, through the Global Initiative, now own everybody. Did you see? Maybe I should have brought this link up. James Comey. Yeah, FBI Director James Comey had a big role with the Clinton Global Initiative. Are they telling you that? So this secret society, see, they are all panicked about Trump before fear of what might come out. That's what this whole thing's about. And they laughed at Trump at the beginning, didn't they? They laughed at him. Thank God for the internet, that they can't completely control the internet, although they're going to try to be able to do that. That the internet and... See, journalism died, and the internet took on a new life. I don't know about you guys. I get no news from TV. Do any of you guys get news from TV? I get no news from TV. None. Find all my news on the internet. So the combination of the internet and a lot of other factors have now brought Donald Trump to the forefront, whether it's just be we love stars, right? Nobody else could have done it other than Trump because he's already a TV star. People knew he had high name recognition. He had a lot of money. And they laughed him off. They never thought he would be able to do it. And look what's happened. Who was the first one to hate him? Dem Bush boys. Well, they were the first ones. In fact, they're still not supporting him. Okay, now 4 minutes. About 4 minutes. Yeah, Chad just texted me. James Comey also had interest in HSBC, which is a bank. Huh? Come on, they're all bought off. They're just playing us for fools. Jump in here. Help me out. Help me bring this home.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
The enemy is in a blatant, all-out assault against what's left of the church.
That's right. That's right.
And in the military, you don't do an all-out assault like we did during the first Gulf War when we moved into Kuwait. You don't do that kind of an assault. until you, your planners, your side, is totally convinced that the other side does not have a chance. There's no way they're going to be able to withstand the assault, and there's no way they're going to be able to counterattack. That's the thinking that goes into a process before you launch a full-out assault. And they may be right. The church may be beyond redemption in this country, because most of the church isn't church. It's pretend church.
But Larry, isn't it also amazing? What is Trump trying to do? Who is Trump trying to take the shackles off of? The church. The one thing that the globalists, call them whatever you want to, the one thing that they want to shut up is the church. And Trump's promised he's going to give the ability to speak, the power back to the church. See, this is so deeper than we understand. The average guy out there doesn't get it. See, he's still stuck in the Republican, conservative, liberal, Democrat box. He still thinks that his vote's going to make a difference. He still thinks that if we get Ted Cruz in there, things will be different. Ted Cruz, Sarge, Ted Cruz is a globalist. He's one of them.
Yeah, yes. His wife works for Goldman Sachs. If nobody know that.
Okay, so Coach, what was your point today? My point today was to help you keep your eye on the ball. Don't get caught up into Hillary's double and what's coming out of her leg when she under her pant leg, and does she have pneumonia and doesn't she have pneumonia? We are seeing very clearly she ain't going to win, and they know it. And they're going to try to do something else. Do you have something to say, Stephen?
I wanted to sit there and say it's not what's being said, it's what's not being said.
As is always the case. In fact, there was an old game show. What was the name of that game show? You don't say. Do you remember besides me? It's not what you say that counts, what you don't say. It's an information battle we're fighting. That's why Alex Jones started his fund called Information Wars, Info Wars, because it really is a war for the truth. The truth gets exposed, we're going to figure out the rest. Anybody? Final minute here?
Dave?
Yep.
Real quick, even as churches start to awaken, the problem is there's no depth in the congregation to withstand the onslaught.
Yep.
And I believe they will fade then.
Yep. Well, they're betting on that too, Raj. They're betting on that too. Hey, listen, I ain't fading. You got to kill me. I ain't fading. And by the way, they're not beyond that either. You think they're beyond that? I don't think they're beyond that. But I'm going to go down standing up. God warned us about loving this life too much. I don't have a death wish, but I'm not afraid to stand up and call out what I see. And this is what I see. This is what we see. Again, if you want to get on the conference call tonight, you're going to have to email me at coach@coachdavelive.com, coach@coachdavelive.com. We'll get the number out there to you. And you can join us tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And we'll just do a little strategizing, a little bit of planning, some of that kind of stuff. All right? Huh? Listen. Fight pressure. Find the ball. Fight pressure. Find the ball. See you tomorrow.
Hey, what's Dale's address?